Hey, thanks for listening to the Two Pros and a Cup of Joe podcast with LeVar Arrington, Jonas Knox, and myself, Brady Quinn. Make sure you catch us live weekdays, 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern or 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. You can find your local station for the Two Pros and a Cup of Joe show over at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
You talk about ruining a great moment in the NFL. That's what happened last night. We'll get into all the details as to why it happened and what the hell's going on. That coming up here just a couple of moments from now. It's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe, Fox Sports Radio, LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. You can hang out with us as always on the iHeartRadio app. You can find us on hundreds of Fox Sports Radio affiliates and wherever you are making us a part of your Tuesday morning. We appreciate you doing so. We're going to take you all the way up through the end of the hour, 9 a.m. Eastern time, 6 o'clock Pacific right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Man. Let me apologize first for this late text that I'm sending you. But I have to notify you that, well, I've been offered over $100 million. Oh, and I'm out of here. Bye, bitches. Oh, I'm sorry. Was I on air? Oh, I'm sorry. I was reading what was on television.
Yeah, well, listen, now, Brian Kelly.
Brian Kelly went gangster on him.
Yeah, a little interesting statement there.
You know what you sounded like right there?
What's that?
You remember the laughing shark? You remember that video that went viral of the laughing shark?
No.
Y'all remember that?
No.
Oh, I'm going to have to show it to you.
It might be
the funniest joke ever in the world. All right. That's what you just sounded like when you laughed just then.
I don't know.
I just don't really understand. You know, his love for his Notre Dame players is limitless. Mm. Yet, apparently there are limits, like $100 million.
I mean, it has a limit. So.
Yeah, it's too bad. But and the meeting is probably already over, and according to Brady and LeVar, he's been escorted out by security.
I'm not saying he has been. I'm saying he should be.
It certainly would make sense.
Yeah, you don't want him sitting around there any longer. I mean, think about it this way, all right? If Jonas decided he was going to bounce and go to another radio station.
Yeah, kiss my ass,
if I was Fox Sports Radio, if I was Don Martin, Scott Shapiro, I would have security escort Jonas out. I would not let him hang around here any longer.
Unsupervised.
Try to mess stuff up or try to pull some, have his Jerry Maguire moment, try to pull some people with him. No, you're choosing to leave. Get the F out.
Yeah.
I mean,
damn.
And don't let the door hit you where the good Lord splits.
Now, would you have a Charger security take me out? Is that, I guess that's the most important.
That would be
question.
Probably your preference.
Yeah, of course it would.
So, no, I would not do anything that would get you too excited, if you know what I mean.
Only if they would frisk me. That would be the only
thing.
Well,
again, you would want that to happen.
That's good. Listen, I'm trying to do a legitimate football show here.
And
you guys just continue to steer us into the ditch. It's unbelievable. I don't even know what that means. All right, so let's get into we could break down what happened in the actual football game last night, but come on, let's just pinpoint a moment of controversy late in the game. Just ruined an opportunity at an onside kick. The Seattle Seahawks down two, trying to recover an onside kick and get an opportunity to extend the game or have an opportunity to win the game, and here we go. This courtesy of the Seahawks radio network late last night at Washington.
Jason Myers going to kick it back to the left side. He's going to take a good bounce. The Seahawks got the ball. The Seahawks got the ball. Haslam gets the ball at the 35, the 45-yard line. Holy smoke, what a great bounce. The Seahawks have the ball.
Formation on the kicking team.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
Since there was a legal recovery by the kicking team, we will enforce the 5-yard penalty at the previous spot and have another kickoff.
I mean, what a bummer, man. So apparently there's some rule to where players have to be lined up a certain way on the onside kick.
Do you want to know why?
Of safety?
Yes.
We're talking about
a difference in a yard. Like, I think it was Nick Ballore. Was that who it was for the Seahawks?
I'm not sure. I
have to go back and look. I thought it was Ballore. He's usually a core special teams guy. Good players. Played a long time. If it was him, I'm pretty sure it was. But he was a yard off on the backside of a play. He had no impact whatsoever on that onside kick. And the reason why I say this is because you see almost any play, if it's an outside run to the right, do you know what someone on the backside's probably doing? They're probably holding. And it almost never gets called because it doesn't impact the play. It's only going to get called if that running back cuts back and now that defender's impeded on being able to do it. There's been times where there's been defensive pass interference, but the ball was thrown the other way. And they kind of let it go because they're like, well, you know, maybe he would have been an option, but the ball wasn't thrown towards him. So we can't call every single one of these every single play because you could pretty much find something if you're looking for it. This was an instance where it literally, like, the whole point of the spacing of this is for player safety. And that had nothing to do with the safety of any player in that instance. It literally took away from what could have been an unbelievable ending, or at least a more theatric ending, and then made the play insignificant, which essentially onside kicks have become that. So if they're going to keep enforcing like this rule the way they have, they might as well not even go with onside kicks anymore. They might as well go with like that whole 4th-and-15 type conversion, because you would have a better chance at that than an onside kick with the way the rules are.
This is how insignificant that rule was to the impact of the actual play and the recovery. By the way, they hadn't recovered an onside kick since the NFC title game in 2014, I think was the graphic they showed. This is how insignificant it is. Do you think that had the play stood and they didn't throw the penalty or call a penalty on Seattle, do you think Washington would have complained to the league afterwards about it? Or do you think Washington would have even known that was a penalty?
I think it depends on if they would have won or lost.
I don't think they would have known.
Somebody would have saw it. Somebody would have saw it.
Nobody. It literally had no impact on the play.
Somebody would have saw it and complained about it. It's a story. But if they would have won, it wouldn't have mattered. I mean, you got to keep in mind, they were struggling on offense anyway. So it's not a given that they would have scored anyway. You know, so
it would have given them another opportunity. It would have given Seattle another opportunity.
It would have gave Washington an opportunity to complain. Somebody would have saw it.
I don't even know. I don't think there were a lot of people that actually knew that that was a rule, especially considering that it was didn't impact the actual
play. I
got
to be honest. I wasn't aware of it. When I saw it, I thought it was weird.
Yeah, it's just bizarre.
But that's just me. That doesn't mean it's wrong.
It would have been one thing if they kicked the onside kick to that side
Agreed.
Of the field. He didn't. He literally kind of went like he was going to and then went back the other way. That bothers me, man, because it takes away – you know, that opportunity. First off, this game for gamblers was a pick 'em in some books, or Seattle was giving a point in others. And so you took away the shot at either someone winning or at least having a shot or pushing, which, again, I'm not even going to get into conspiracy theories and all this, but it would have been fascinating to see what Seattle could have done with, 15, 14 seconds to see if they could get one pass and then maybe a field goal attempt or a Hail Mary. Either way, it made for a very anticlimactic ending to Monday Night Football, unfortunately.
There was an end to the half. They called a defensive holding that was so delayed against Seattle last night, and they went back and pointed out who it was called on. The call was terrible, absolutely terrible. And that was end of the half. You know, they're trying to, you know, Washington, Seattle thinks they got off the field, and then they ended up calling the play late. It's just like there were a lot of moments, but it seems like we have the conversation every week, especially on these standalone games, to where you can pinpoint multiple times, multiple calls that you go, how do you make that call in that spot? And it feels like this is the conversation we have all the time. Pete Carroll spoke afterwards about the onside kick rule and the call that was made during the game last night.
On the offside, you have to have the number of guys outside the hash mark and the numbers. And we had, I don't know, we work on it all the time, but we didn't line up right. So it was just an alignment error.
Okay, Pete Carroll, over under a year and a half, he's still in Seattle as head coach.
I think the under.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. Oh, I think he's gone. I think he's gone. I think they're going to start
rebuilding.
They
might have a hard time to survive this year, depending on how they finish out.
What, you think he's going to get fired?
It's possible.
You think Pete Carroll's going to get
it's
fired?
It's his first losing season. I don't know if he's going to get fired after one.
I don't know.
Can we run that onto a breaking LeVar Arrington speculating Pete Carroll's going to be fired by the Seattle Seahawks?
I didn't speculate it.
Can I say this, though, about
how we finish up?
We were talking about the issues for why they're, what are they, 3-8 now?
Yeah.
DK Metcalf didn't catch the football until a minute left in the game.
I know.
I mean, everyone's talking about, oh, they don't have a running game. I don't care about the running game. DK Metcalf didn't have a catch until a minute left in the game. I mean, that's a problem. Now, again, it's a product of, you know, maybe what defenses are going to take him away, Russell Wilson's, you know, fingers, some missed targets, whatever the case may be. You find a way to get that man the football. Like, come on now. He's too big of a mismatch and too big of an athletic, you know, freak to not get him the football and see what he can do with it. So that was one thing, too. I was watching the game. I'm thinking, man, it's kind of weird. I don't feel like DK Metcalf. Is he hurt? Is he out there? Oh, he's out there. He's just not getting the football.
By the way, how about him rolling out with blonde hair when the bets on the prop
I was just about
monster.
To do it. I was about to do it,
jeez,
but you beat me to it.
I was going to throw blonde in there, but I went blue, green, purple, and he rolls out with blonde. Just a bummer. And then, you
I
know,
mean, you did have an option for like an A, B, C, or D. Or you know,
yeah, yeah. I screwed that up. Listen, I'll own that. The other screw up was, LeVar Arrington betting against himself that there was going to be a LeVar Arrington jersey that was tweeted to us on the show. Now we didn't actually get a tweet, so
there were probably definitely less than 50,000, 40,000, 30,000.
Yeah, they didn't show the upper bowl.
No,
they literally only showed the lower bowl.
Yeah,
it's it's a little TV magic. There weren't
enough people there. I don't have enough fans for there to have been enough people there for my jersey.
All right, so
I thought I saw one. I just was like, I don't see anyone tweeting at us, so that's going to be the issue.
All right, so let me.
I know I saw one, though.
All right,
at least.
So let me ask you this. I do have the attendance that was reported. Now, this is probably a lie. In fact, I can almost guarantee this is a lie, but the attendance that was reported, capacity is 82,000. Let's go ahead. Let's play a little game here, a little fun little game between LeVar and Brady. Do we have any game show music here on Fox Sports Radio? Something that would be appropriate here during the holidays. We're not trying to single out anybody here on the show. Just an appropriate theme song for what we're trying to do here on Fox Sports Radio.
Berto clearly has none for us. Oh, there he does.
All right, so here we go. All right, so I have the actual attendance, and during this time that we were actually finding the theme music. Guarantee Brady, I looked this up. Let's go ahead. You guys want to take a guess, LeVar? What do you think the actual attendance being reported for the game last night, a place you played in for a long time was?
Easily. They reported 55,000.
All right, you got to pick one number.
55,000.
Right, okay, 55,000. All right, so 55,000. Brady, where do you want to go?
I'm saying like 62,000. How much does it hold? You said 80 what?
82. 82,000.
I think they reported like 62, 65, something that was not even close.
All right, we do have a winner. Drum roll, please. Drum roll, please. And the winner of Can You Guess How Many People Were at the Monday Night Football Game Between the Seahawks and the Washington Football Team at what I will always refer to as RFK Stadium is... LeVar Arrington, step right up. 52,680.
So wow.
30,000. There were really like 25.
100%. Yeah. So 30,000 no-shows reported. 30,000 no-shows reported.
Yeah. That's that they would actually report that.
Okay, but
and you know how they do it though? They do the
sold.
The barcode.
So that means there was probably 40,000 there.
There were probably like.
So half. Half of that
know,
stadium.
Man. I don't know. Jeez, I would say so.
That's a bummer.
It looked bare.
Yeah, it did not look good.
Lower bowl.
Look, they got sewage problems up top. What do you want? I mean, I wouldn't want to sit in that toilet either. Yeah. I mean, come on.
Yeah,
now.
That's the other thing about this theory on the sewage problems up top. The sewage runs down. It doesn't run up. So like it's not like you're keeping a bunch of sewage pipes up above the sweet area. Like, that's not what it is.
Oh, man.
We
all
didn't get the fart noise from Berto today. That's
Roberto's off his game.
We've gone almost 3-4 hours without him giving us. There we go.
There it is. The streak is continuing here. All right. It is Two Pros and a Cup of Joe brought to you by Discover. If you're a valued customer, you deserve a simple gesture of appreciation from your credit card company, and that's why Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Learn more at Discover. discover.com/match. Limitations apply. All right, so we're going to jump back into the coaching carousel in college football. It's also impacting the NFL. We'll get into that for you next year on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
It's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe, Fox Sports Radio, LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. Come on, Sticks.
Yeah. Y'all don't want my freestyle. Yeah. I ain't going to mess with Run DMC.
Hey, by the way, Berto, when are we going to play the Police Got My Car or whatever it is? When's that coming out?
The next break. Next.
Okay, good. All right, that's one of my favorites.
You got the Snoop Dogg one?
Nah.
Santa.
Yeah, it's
the one on the Friday After Next?
Yeah, I played that one when you were doing your read.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, okay. Thank you, funny guy.
All right.
Thank you very much, funny guy.
So we are going to have I just want to throw a conspiracy at you guys. A little theory I have on something, you know, football conspiracy. We'll have that for you here 10 minutes from now on FSR. Now, we were talking about this yesterday when LeVar was a TV star yesterday. Brady and I were talking about the Cliff Kingsbury story that was floated out there by Adam Schefter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, Adam Schefter really, trying to sell the Cliff Kingsbury
of
as a
course.
Potential candidate to
Oklahoma.
Yeah, because
that's what he is.
And so Cliff Kingsbury, he spoke with the media about the situation yesterday, about the rumors surrounding him potentially being a candidate for Oklahoma. And here's what he had to say.
I don't get into those things. My sole focus the last couple weeks has been Chicago Bears. And after watching them Thanksgiving, it needs to be because they're a really good football team and had a big win, and so that's where my focus has been.
Yeah, what a liar! What a full blown liar!
All credibility went out the door as soon as he said Chicago Bears.
Oh, so you spotted the lie too?
Oh,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah, like what do you mean?
Oh, this is
team?
A hell of a team! Like, how can I concentrate and focus on anything else right now? We've got the Chicago Bears.
I mean, what a damn!
We've got to be ready.
But how soon does Arizona go ahead and up the ante and start paying him a little bit more? Because that's all this is, right? That he is trying to get more money. They're going to float his name out there. There's no possible
because he definitely didn't deny. He didn't like shut it down.
Well, no, but I don't think there's. I don't think anybody would take Oklahoma over the Arizona Cardinals head coaching job.
Bro, are you not listening to what we are saying out the words that are coming out of our mouths? They are offering way more in college now. They are exceeding. What's going now? If you're connected, I will say this: there might be one or two jobs where you sit there and you'd be like, "Nope, ain't gonna happen." Pittsburgh Steelers is probably one of them. All right, I don't even know. I can think of like Bill Belichick. I don't know that I can even think of anybody else, any other teams. If you're getting offered the perks and the setups of what these colleges are offering, I don't give a damn what level it is. I don't care if it's the pros. Like, oh, we're heading for we're the best team and one of the best teams in the NFC right now. If the right school comes calling with the right offer, beat cheeks up out of there and go get it. Because it ain't going to get itself.
I mean,
it's leverage. Yeah. I mean, it's leverage. It's what it is. It's what everyone tries to utilize. And if you got an interested party out there who's willing to pay you a big sum of money, and it doesn't, you know, it doesn't have to all be true. All the agent needs to do is float it out there. You have the coach not deny it, and it creates a little more tension.
He certainly did not deny it.
No.
He did not. Let me ask you this, though, Brady. If they did offer him more than what he's getting at Arizona, should he leave or should he stay?
I would say you should still stay. And then here's the issue that you're seeing with some of this. Again, the timing of it. Like, Oklahoma needs to find that replacement yesterday. You know, Coach Stoops is going to end up taking over as their interim head coach, but he's not going to take it full time. He's not going to become their head coach again. This isn't like a Bill Snyder thing, right? Where Bill Snyder left K-State, ended up coming back. It's not one of those deals. So they do need to find someone, and they need to find someone fast for recruiting purposes because they have been getting purged And there is a good sense that that's a school that USC is going to now come after some of those recruits, especially kids, you know, out there out west. But a lot of teams are going to start kind of picking guys off that roster. And you might be able to say that about other schools. Again, I kind of told you the uniqueness of, like, the guys who decide to go to Notre Dame. But the reality is they need to stop the bleeding fast. I mean, they've already had five kids who are five-star, four-star kids decommit in the past 48 hours. And that's a problem. You know, Spencer Rattler, not that he's the quarterback there now. It's Caleb Williams. But, you know, he's in the transfer portal. He's moving on. So that's the hard thing about all this is college has to, you know, have these quick fixes right now because of recruiting. The NFL is just a little past the halfway point. So it's not like we're talking about it. It's syncing up where that's going to make sense. What's Cliff going to do? Leave in the middle of the season when this is the best season he's had there?
Yeah, imagine that.
That ain't going to happen.
By the way, is Manny Diaz going to get clipped? Is Miami going to move on from Manny Diaz?
I'm getting the sense that there's two players I've heard in Mario Cristobal and Lane Kiffin. And if they can get either one of those two, it's a wrap. The problem is they haven't hired their AD to replace Blake James. So until they do that, it's kind of awkward to do it. I guess it'd be more like your NFL model where you're basically hiring the head coach before general manager. And there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. It just kind of shows you who has more power. But so let's be real. If it starts happening in college football, that's not surprising. Everyone knows, you know, Nick Saban's more important than the AD at Alabama. That's just how it works. I mean, it's become – these guys are getting paid so much, and they've become such a national focal piece for everyone out there and for that university that – they end up being more important in the long run at generating revenue for the university than the athletic director.
Could you imagine if Lane Kiffin burned another SEC school just bailing like this, like he did in Tennessee?
He's not going to burn them if they offer him the job and Ole Miss isn't willing to match. That's not burning them.
But
he's a shaker and a mover for sure, though.
I mean, yeah.
He will go where the current takes him, where the tide takes him.
And also, if Miami wants a rock star hiring as a coach, you can't do better right now than Lane Kiffin. As far as somebody who's going to go in there and shake things up and get some of the swagger back, get some of the attitude back. Like, he did good things at FAU. Like, Brady randomly would go to the bowl games there in Coral Gables.
He completely transformed what FAU was from what it was before he got there. And Willie Taggart's now kind of taking it over and doing that now. But I swear to you, that place was like an afterthought. And now it's fun to go to the Boca Bowl. It's fun to go see that team play when I can. I try to make it out because it's a more lively, different environment. You've got better players. He completely changed the trajectory of that program. If you put Lane Kiffin in Broward and Dade County in South Florida,
yikes,
which is the mecca of hot talent in this country. Like, I'll put those two counties up versus Southern California, Texas, the Golden Triangle there, the DMV up in, you know, the Maryland, D.C., Virginia area. I'll put it up against anything as far as D1 scholarship offers, and you ain't going to beat it. So if he can just recruit that area, he could bring the U back. And with NIL now, these guys do. I mean, all these boosters who are paying kids illegally, now this stuff's legalized. Let it happen, man. I would love that. Him or Mario Cristobal, because Mario knows the area well. He's got family down in South Florida. So if he was able to get there too, the U would be back, and boy, would that be fun.
Yeah, it'd be a lot of fun. It is Two Pros and a Cup of Joe, Fox Sports Radio, LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. So speaking of coming back, there could be somebody on his way back very, very soon, but in a little bit of a different role. We will get to that here coming up 15 minutes from now on Fox Sports Radio. All right. You guys ready for a little conspiracy, a little something here, a little juicy conspiracy I want to throw at you?
The way you set it up, I hope it's really good.
All right, so here we go. We have a live studio band playing the Unsolved Mysteries theme music here. They are all masked up and ready to go here. Everybody's got an N95 on. All right, so here is the conspiracy I have for you. We talked with Dr. David Chow last hour a little bit about this. Here's my thought on the Christian McCaffrey injury. It's not considered to be the most serious ankle injury in the world. Dr. David Chow even pointed out it's not even as significant as the Saquon Barkley ankle injury, yet Saquon Barkley has come back from that ankle injury. Yet the Carolina Panthers are shutting down Christian McCaffrey for the year and putting him on IR. Here's my conspiracy. I believe Christian McCaffrey has played his final down and final snap as a member of the Carolina Panthers.
Wow.
I think they are going to deal him in the offseason.
Wow.
And I think he could be a part of a trade piece that brings in either Deshaun Watson, maybe Aaron Rodgers, maybe Russell Wilson. Christian McCaffrey is gone in Carolina. He will never take another snap for the Carolina Panthers. This is all to make sure he's healthy when they can get him into the offseason as part of a trade bait. How about that?
Wow.
How about that?
That is amazing.
Put that in your South Bend pipe and smoke it, Brady Quinn.
Mind blower.
How about that?
Mind blown. Hey,
you know what?
Blower.
Can we keep this music going? Because I also have a conspiracy.
All right, let's go. Conspiracy Theory Tuesday.
Jonas, as I'm talking right now, either Jonas or Lee DeLapp, our research expert, if you could look up the amount of games I believe Christian McCaffrey has missed over the past two seasons, okay? I want to say it's somewhere in the ballpark of 23 games missed, and that might be including these five he's scheduled to miss or the rest of the season he's scheduled to miss at this point. But please, at some point, give me that number because it correlates to this. Christian McCaffrey, a Stanford man. He's smart. He's one of the more athletically gifted players we've seen in the NFL.
Legacy guy.
But you know what the other thing is? He's a good-looking guy.
He's a great-looking guy.
Yeah. You know what? When you're a legacy guy, when you're a good-looking guy, when you got a Stanford education, you're desirable.
Yeah.
You know who you're desirable to?
Everybody.
Who's that?
Everybody.
Yeah.
But you know who most is desiring that? A supermodel. All right?
What are you getting
Maybe
at
one
here?
Olivia Culpo, his girlfriend. And I feel like since they've begun dating.
Olivia Culpo.
Oh, just Google it. Just Google her. That's all I'll say. All right, I'll leave it at that. Set your eyes on Olivia Culpo. And since that relationship started, he's been hurt more than he's been healthy. And look, I'll say this much. Maybe there's a reason he's rushing to get back after getting hurt home to that warm bed because he's got himself something special. All right? I'm throwing this out there.
Yeah, all right. Let me just go ahead and look.
The funniest thing is Jonas showed me the picture like literally at the beginning of the show.
I do not, what are you talking about?
You're re-looking? Let me see again. Let me see. Let me see it again. Let me see.
That'll do.
Hand me that.
I mean, thoughts on this, please. Can I get anything?
I mean, you know what, Christian? Take your time, pal.
It's a very nice boat.
Just go ahead.
Is that a ship or a boat?
I don't know what it is, but it's very nice. Take your absolute time, whatever you need. Just go ahead and take your
time. I'm just saying, since the summer of 2019.
Yeah.
And so how many games will he miss when this is all said
So he missed he only played 3 games last year, so he missed 13 last year. He's only going to pay 7. He's going to miss 9 this year, so that's 22.
21.
That's
a lot.
To 22
games.
He got his money,
and he got his chick.
So. Yeah, I'm just
saying, man.
Hey, that happened to me.
That's something to go home to.
I was injured. After I met the woman I eventually married and made a life with, I was injured the rest of my career. It's true.
Do you think there's a correlation there?
Yes, and it was always leg exclusive? Injuries. So, all leg injuries.
Leave it alone, Brady. Leave it alone.
I can't help it.
Brady, leave it alone.
Yep.
He said it.
Leave it alone.
Legs were weak.
He said it.
The rest of the leg.
You couldn't get your legs back.
Couldn't get them back.
Leave it alone.
Hey, bro, those things might have been bedridden at one point.
Hey, let's try and survive the month of November, please.
What? Come on. Why could I invest into your theory, but you can't invest into my conspiracy?
I think Brady's theory is way better,
to be
honest.
I'm fully invested into your theory.
I think we'd all like to be fully invested
in that.
Let's fully invest.
I mean,
there's always one. There's always the one.
It is kind of a strange handling of this extent of an injury, right? To where all of a sudden,
I just think they're over it, man.
At
some point, you just get to the you're just over it.
Bad investment.
You just can't help us.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we love you to death. You are amazing when we have you, but we just can't trust that you're going to be available. The best ability is availability, you know, and some people use different ones. Accountability, some people throw out there, but you know, availability is up there high on the list, and he's just not available enough. I mean, that's just a sensible conclusion.
It's like that car you've got that, man, you love driving it, but it's temperamental when you do. And you're like, all right, the winter's coming. I'm just not going to take it out to drive. I'm going to get rid of it in the springtime when, you know, I can unload it at that point. But there's no point in trying to drive it. The weather's bad. You know, this isn't really going to work out. It's kind of like that.
I wish I could say to Brand, because I know what brand you're talking about.
What brand do you think?
Well, they could be. You don't want to burn sponsors.
I ain't
going to
burn sponsors, but because they've been a part of this station. I'll give you that. There's a hint for you. They've been a part of this station to a very large degree.
Yeah.
Always an issue.
Yeah.
Always very temperamental.
Mm.
Always something going on. Ding!
But,
like, come on, really? Really? I just took you in. Like, you want to be touched on again, huh?
Just go ahead and get another glimpse at this here.
All right.
Just go ahead.
Yeah. That's ridiculous, man.
You know,
shouts out to Christian McCaffrey.
Dude.
You know, shouts out to love, man.
Shouts out to
applause for Christian McCaffrey, folks. Yes. That is just a
shouts
round of
out. Shouts out
of everything he's accomplished. This might be his greatest feat.
Yeah, and also, you know, let's hope Danny Amendola's not listening to this.
I mean, he just got. Why is that?
Well, you know.
That's an ex.
Yeah,
that's a former.
Bit of an issue.
That was a former.
All right. It is two pros and a cup of Joe here at Fox Sports Radio.
LeVar
Arrington.
You're in a production business, and if you're not producing, can be replaced.
That's Super Bowl champ.
That's
we're
what
talking
they.
About
well,
here.
We're saying, but you got to do what have you done for me lately?
He does fine.
No,
okay. He does.
I'm
it.
Just
does
saying.
Right.
Sorry, Amendola.
Hey, can you put that picture back up again, Jonas?
I don't think I want to. All right. It is two pros and a cup of Joe coming up next. Somebody could be on their way back, but in a different capacity. We'll get into all that for you next here on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Beyer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Beyer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Police stole my car.
I hit the button.
Yeah.
For all my people, I am
so
offended.
Good.
For all my people.
I honestly thought they said something else at the beginning of that.
Oh, wow. You are the worst ever, Brady.
Because
I heard what you heard.
Did you hear what I – because I was like, did they just play that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Racist.
I'm with you, Roberto. That's
a matter of
line.
Fact, Jonas has a video of that happening one time.
Oh, man.
What is that,
Olivia
sir?
Culpo. She can
steal
it.
It is two pros and a cup of Joe here on Fox Sports Radio.
Empty out your pocket, sir. What is this in your pocket?
It's good stuff. It sounds like Christmas Eve with the in-laws right here.
Okay.
Little, you know what it is? Hey, by the way, Roberto and I were talking about it. It is tamale season coming up soon.
Oh.
It is tamale season.
I love me some tamales.
Well, listen, you got the tamale twins, Roberto and I. We'll take care of them, man.
Are you
I'll
guys,
bring them in.
Who makes them?
My mom, of course.
Okay, if you said your mom or your grandmom, I'm good. If you said you did them, I might question it. What kind?
Oh, wow.
What kind?
Roberto, come on.
What kind?
I mean.
Pork, red?
Yeah.
Red sauce?
Yes.
And, cheese and
yes.
And sauteed onions and peppers.
Yeah, yes.
That's a good stuff. Also,
I'm putting in my order right now.
Have you had the dessert tamales, Roberto?
I don't like those.
Yeah, I don't like them either.
How much you need?
People are into them.
How much you need? I'm putting my order in right now. What do you need? I need a bag, you know?
All right.
I need a bag.
What about the tamales? Just asking the question.
Why do you always make things so awkward?
I
was having a real moment there. Okay. Like, you gotta understand something. First time I had tamales, I was on a golf course in Mexico, and I was like, what is this goodness that is going into my mouth? And they were like, well, that nice, corny tasting, what is it, carnitas flavor this is a tamale. And I was like, wow.
Sure, tamale. That was a tamale?
It was a tamale. All
right.
It was. I've been hooked ever since.
Listen,
Anthony Munoz is big on, like, it's a big Christmas thing with the Munoz family.
He was a good player.
Yeah, I had
every
tamales.
Better than good, dude. He might have been one of the greatest. Yeah. The greatest.
I actually had tamales with him at the breakfast the next morning.
Oh, wow.
Before we went back onto
little breakfast tamales.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
But they weren't breakfast. But they weren't breakfast. They were real, like, they didn't have, like, eggs or anything.
By the way, you can really screw up a tamale, though.
Can you?
Yeah. You get them. You get a one that's too dry. It's just
I don't like too dry.
Yeah, it's bad.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
Too much masa on it. Yeah. That's not good.
Yeah, you don't want that too much masa. Just, you know, again, I've
put my order.
How the hell did we get on this conversation?
I don't know, but my stomach is freaking burning now.
Brady sent over notes saying he wanted to get into tamale talk. I was like, all right, man, I guess we can do the final segment of the show.
Oh, there you go.
All right. I mean, Brady, if you don't mind, can we please get to a little something we do called this? I mean, please.
You moron. How could you not get to these stories?
You moron.
These are the scraps.
And we turn it over to Lee DeLapp, our executive producer, to find out what the hell we've missed. Lee?
You guys, Tiger Woods gave his first extensive interview since his car crash earlier this year with Golf Digest. Here's a little tidbit from what he says. He's tempering expectations.
For me, I had to prove it to myself. I had to climb Mount Everest one more time, and I did. But I can't participate in the game of golf. Maybe click off a tournament here or there. But as far as climbing the mountain, get all the way to the top, I don't think that's a realistic expectation of me.
All right, so listen, you move on. Go to the senior tour. He could play well. We're good. Like, I don't need to see any more of Tiger Woods. I'm good. Like, he's done enough to entertain everybody and do amazing things. I think we're good here. Like, he just called a career.
What do you think, Brady?
I actually like the fact that, I mean, one, shouts out to Tiger for being able to come back to any degree. I mean, that was just brutal what he's gone through. But, I mean, one, he doesn't owe anyone or the game of golf anything. He's, you know, at this point in time, like, he doesn't need to come back. I think it's great for the sport for this reason, though. They've got enough young talent that have been able to kind of carry the torch, if you will, for this period of time and transitioning away from, like, that Tiger-Phil rivalry. And so you've got those guys in the meantime and the rivalries between Koepka and DeChambeau, for example. But then now every once in a while you get to sprinkle that Tiger's back. And I do think him, even not at his best, coming back for some of those majors creates intrigue. It creates a crowd, a great atmosphere. It's going to create a lot of, I think, attention around the sport of golf when he does. So I actually think this will work out really well for the sport of golf.
Okay. Well, I mean,
I just don't think we should look at him as an elite guy anymore.
No,
like, enjoy the fact that you can connect to the name, the you know, the nostalgia of what Tiger Woods is. But
him winning the Masters a couple years ago was the last great send off for his career.
I just don't look at him as an elite.
What if he comes back though and is like only hitting majors and then like wins one or two? I mean, he's got the ability. Like, I'm never ever gonna write that guy off. Because he's just too good, man. He is. He's been throughout. It's like that, you know, old song. He may not be as good as he once was, but he's as good once as he ever was. I think he can put it together for one tournament here and there.
Yeah,
keep hope alive.
I mean, that's going to keep people watching.
Lee, what else we got?
You guys, some added incentives for the athletic department in Michigan. Jim Harbaugh says he's going to donate his bonus to all the employees who had their salaries reduced 5-6% from COVID-19.
What, is that the players he's talking about?
The athletic department.
Wow.
Sorry.
I mean, no good deed gets proper treatment on this show. Guy tries to help some people out, and LeVar's got to take a dump over him.
Give that bonus check to your players.
I mean,
it could be upwards of $3.5 million.
He's just winning. He's just winning right now.
My
on
guy,
the field,
Jim Harbaugh.
Off the field, man, everything.
My guy, Jim Harbaugh.
Do an NIL deal with your players.
Next head coach of the Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
Just unbelievable.
You remember when Hugh Douglas knocked the snot out of him and got fined like 20 G's on one hit?
Hugh Douglas did?
Yeah, he did. He beat me. And I knew it because I was the most fined guy for big hits, and you overtook me with one hit.
And still bothers you.
It does, because I wanted to be the most hardest hitting fine guy. Yeah, that is true.
Well, listen, you know, let's hope you know, we get some details from Brian Kelly's goodbye to Notre Dame tomorrow. Come on, Brady, let's pull some strings.
I'm working on it.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.